Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Mount Logan Capital third quarter 2020 results conference call. Before we begin, I would like to remind listeners that, except for historical information, the matters discussed during this call may include forward-looking statements within the meaning of the applicable Canadian securities legislation. Forward-looking statements involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties and other factors that may cause actual financial results, performance, or achievements to be materially different from estimated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by those forward-looking statements. All forward-looking statements reflect the company's current views with respect to future events and are subject to risks and uncertainties and assumptions we have made in drawing the conclusions included in such forward-looking statements. The company is not obligated to update or revise any forward-looking statements, and we do not assume any obligation to do so. For a description of the risks associated with Mount Logan Capital's business, as well as information about the material factors and assumptions that could cause results to differ from any forward-looking statements and other relevant factors, please refer to the company's public disclosure record, particularly the company's MD&A and annual information form for the year ended December 31st, 2019, which are available on SEDAR. At this time, I'd like to introduce your host for today's conference, Mr. Ted Goldthorpe, Chief Executive Officer of Mount Logan Capital. Mr. Goldthorpe, you may begin.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us for our third quarter 2020 results call. During the call, we'll be referring to information provided in the financial statements, the MD&A, the associated news release for the quarter, all of which were released yesterday and are available on our website and on SEDAR. Joining me this morning is our Chief Financial Officer, Ted Gilpin, Mitch Schinbein, Matthias Ederer, and Henry Wong, our co-presidents, and myself. Overall, we are pleased to announce that Mount Logan had another solid quarter. Over the quarter, our investment portfolio rose in value, experiencing a $1.3 million unrealized appreciation, exemplifying the continued normalization of market conditions. Before we speak to our financial results for the quarter, I will provide a brief overview of our portfolio positioning before discussing our equity capital raise, our recently completed SIF transaction. From a macro perspective, while we do not believe we are out of the woods with respect to COVID-19, we experienced improved market sentiment during the quarter as portfolio companies began to gain a better sense of near-term financial visibility and their prospects. As we discussed during our last earnings call, we expect our portfolio to remain resilient through any near-term economic turmoil. In terms of industry exposure, excluding Klein, which as you know is structured as a CVR, our portfolio has no direct exposure to the COVID-19 affected sectors such as automotive, energy, metals and mining, hotel, casinos and leisure, advertising, restaurants, and cruise lines. We have a diversified portfolio of investments spanning 16 borrowers, and as of September 30th, 2020, excluding Klein, 77% of our portfolio was concentrated in first lien senior secured debt, which we have purposely focused on to be well positioned. Since quarter end, we have opportunistically divested our exposure to the Great Lakes Unitranche joint venture and our exposure to the Scion promissory note. While we have conviction in the underlying credits and as part of our broader portfolio, we believe the net proceeds can be better deployed in pursuing potential strategic transactions to transition Mount Logan to an asset-light model. Furthermore, both of these positions were divested at cost or above par, a testament to our valuations reflecting current market value. On the capital raise side, on October 27th, 2020, we completed a private placement raising $16.8 million Canadian dollars at a share price of $2.75 Canadian dollars per share. Greatly aided by Canaccord Genuity, ATB Capital Markets, and Stifel GMP, we are pleased to welcome new major shareholders to Mount Logan, in addition to incremental participation from existing key shareholders and from the directors and officers of Mount Logan. The net proceeds of the capital raise were used to fund our transaction with the Resource Credit Income Fund and for the purchase of public and private debt securities. In regards to the Resource Credit Income Fund, or SIF as I refer to it throughout these comments, We are pleased to close the transaction on October 30th, 2020, following a very successful vote by the underlying shareholders of SIF. As a reminder, SIF is a U.S.-based, continuously offered, closed-end, quasi-permanent capital vehicle that invests credit assets that are highly complementary with Mount Logan's mandate, including direct lending, private credit, and public credit. Upon funding approximately $12 million at close, Mount Logan is now entitled to the net economic benefits associated with the management contract for SIF, a fund that has 1.85% annual base management fee on approximately $240 million of assets under management. Our transaction with SIF is a major step towards fulfilling our transition to a diversified credit manager. We view the SIF transaction as a significant milestone towards the market ascribing value to the asset management fee streams associated with our business, and thus transitioning to being valued similarly to our asset management peers, as opposed to being valued on a price-to-book basis. We believe there is an extraordinary market opportunity right now, and with our recently raised capital, we look forward to a transformative period for Mount Logan over the next 6 to 12 months. On November 6th, our wholly owned subsidiary, Mount Logan Management, received approval from the United States SEC and is now a registered investment advisor. This important step paves the way for us to complete our acquisition of certain investment management contracts related primarily to two CLO funds currently managed by Garrison Investment Management. We expect this transaction to close very shortly, and we will issue a press release when that happens. Lastly, we maintained our dividend for the quarter, and we will be paying 2 Canadian cents per share for shareholders of record as of November 23rd. With that, I will turn the call over to Ted Gilpin, our Chief Financial Officer, who will review the financial results for the quarter.
Thanks, Ted. Good afternoon, everyone. I will now summarize our key highlights for the third quarter of 2020. As a reminder, all figures I reference today on this call will be in U.S. dollars, Mount Logan's functional and presentation currency. For the third quarter ended September 30th, 2020, we generated $971,000 in total investment income, aligned with income generation levels from the prior year. On the expense side, professional fees related to legal, audit, and tax consulting amounted to $115,000 for the quarter. Other costs, including director's fees, marketing, regulatory, and shareholder relations, and other general and administrative costs totaled $290,000 for the third quarter. Utilizing our leverage facility, Mount Logan incurred $414,000 in interest and other credit facility expenses as a result of drawings under the loan facility. Aggregate interest and operating expenses are down approximately 16% quarter over quarter. In the quarter, we faced a net realized loss on investments and foreign currency of approximately $83,000. However, this is outweighed by an unrealized appreciation on our investment portfolio of approximately $1.3 million. This rebound in valuation is a function of the continued recovery of credit market conditions since the market volatility experienced earlier this year in light of the COVID-19 pandemic. Our total and comprehensive income was approximately $1.3 million for the quarter, or 12 cents per weighted average share. As of September 30th, 2020, Mount Logan's balance sheet reflects total assets of $77.3 million, total liabilities of $44.6 million, and shareholders' equity of $32.7 million, resulting in a net asset value per share of $3.08, an increase of 10 cents quarter over quarter. Our 5% decline in net asset value since December 31st, 2019 was predominantly driven by the unrealized depreciation on our investment portfolio. Our asset balance at quarter end primarily consisted of $55.1 million in our investment portfolio, $11.3 million balance in cash and restricted cash, and $2.9 million in a deferred tax asset. Liabilities predominantly include our leverage facility with an outstanding balance of $34.4 million and the fair value of the Klein investment associated with the contingent value rights, or CVRs. As a reminder on Klein, this is an investment in equity and debt that remains from Merit Resource Corp prior to the plan of arrangement. As an update on Klein, on October 27, 2020, Merit Asset Management announced that the Klein transaction was completed on October 26, 2020, whereby Allegiance acquired all the shares of the New Elk Coal Company, which holds all the mining assets of Klein. We understand that it is Merit's intention to direct Klein to remit the net proceeds from the transaction, less a prudent provision for any ongoing minimal Klein operating costs to Mount Logan and the other senior bondholders as soon as practical after receipt. The distribution by Mount Logan of any proceeds received from the Klein transaction will be made in accordance with the terms of the indenture governing the CVRs. With that, I will now turn it back over to Ted Goldthorpe for some closing remarks.
Thanks, Ted. Overall, we are pleased with our results for the quarter and the recent momentum we've experienced since quarter end. Following the completion of our private placement, the SIF transaction, and recent portfolio divestitures, we believe we are well on our way towards scaling our business and transitioning to an asset-light business model. We continue to develop a strong pipeline of actionable asset management opportunities that have the potential to be highly accretive to Mount Logan. While markets have improved since March 2020, conditions remain uncertain. However, we have conviction in the quality, security, and diversity of our underlying portfolio and believe we are well positioned to take advantage of the current market environment. With that, we will now transition the call to Q&A, if the operator could please coordinate.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we'll begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star and then one to join the question queue. To withdraw your questions, you may press star and two. If you are using a speakerphone, we do ask you please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers to ensure the best sound quality. Once again, that is star and then one to join the question queue. We'll pause momentarily to assemble the roster. And our first question today comes from Scott Chan from Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Good afternoon. Ted, in the quarter, you had some kind of reversals on your portfolio just based on the better markets. But post quarter, with the pandemic and in the second wave, is maybe can you provide an update on what you're seeing in your portfolio? And does it impact like your what's the impact on potentially investing in new loans or disposing of some loans in your portfolio?
Yeah, thanks, Scott. That's actually a great question. So we have not seen any discernible impact on the credit quality of our portfolio, despite some of the recent news. And the flip side is, as we mentioned in our script, we were able to offload two of our most bespoke illiquid assets. And what we found in the market is, despite the fact that there's uncertainty and, we're pretty negative in general, as people know, there's a real pent-up demand for investment. So we were able to monetize, a big chunk of our portfolio at or above our NAV. And those are amongst our most illiquid assets. And also one was subordinated and one was, equity in a joint venture. So I think it shows there's a pent-up demand for these type of assets. And to your point about what we're seeing, we in March were pretty bearish on what was going to happen, probably too bearish. And so when we looked at all the results of all our portfolio companies, generally speaking, the portfolio is performing much better than we expected 6 months ago. And the companies have been relatively resilient, mostly through expense control, but also, surprisingly decent revenue trends as well. So outside of one or two names, which we watch a little more closely than the rest of the portfolio, the portfolio continues to be in very, very good shape.
And then you talked about your current portfolio not having any kind of COVID impacted sectors. Is there opportunities for potentially new investments in these sectors, or these sectors you're going to stay away from, kind of relative to what you have right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think the answer is, given what we're trying to do with the business, I think we're going to avoid those sectors. Just, we want to provide investors very stable NAV, good ROEs and, stable business model, and those tend to be a little more volatile. So not saying that people shouldn't invest in them, it's just not what we're going to do. And secondly, we have looked at a lot of opportunities in those sectors to provide capital, and we just feel like the forward visibility / ability to underwrite these are very hard. So we may get comfort in the five-year view of some of these businesses, but have less of a view of what's going to happen over the next 6 to 12 months. And so for our shareholders, we don't think that's the right use of their capital. But I think what you'll see us do over the next couple of months is any investment activity for us will most likely be strategic. and we're hoarding cash to close, you know, a number of these transactions that we're, you know, hoping to announce imminently.
Okay. And just lastly, Ted, now that SIF is closed, is there an update there, any kind of recent developments on maybe the industry or the fund? Anything you can provide there would be helpful.
Yeah, I mean, the fund's done really well. So since March, it's performed very, very well. And even over the last couple of weeks, you know, post this post-election, the portfolio's done really well. So as of right now, the fund is actually, again, for the last 6 to 8 months, has performed very well. A lot of that was just recovery of marks. So, you know, obviously the loan market was way down in the first quarter, and the loan market's come back. But the SIF, yeah, SIF performance has done very well, particularly over the last couple of weeks. And then just in terms of stability of the assets, I mean, we don't really have an update. I mean, since we did our last update, you know, there is, you know, we are in the market fundraising for this fund at all times, but redemptions come in every quarter. So we won't have visibility on that for another couple months.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one. Our next question comes from Charles Burns from CIBC Wood Gundy. Please go ahead with your question.
Good afternoon, Ted. Just wondering, the provision that you made in the first quarter, has all of it been now reversed, or is there still some provision for some of the loans?
Yeah, I mean, Hello? Ted Gilt can jump in as well, but I would say on that, I would say we don't, unlike a bank, we don't hold provisions and reserves. We mark everything to fair value. So
that is what I meant. Has the markdown been reversed naturally, kind of?
Yeah, so the mark, we've recovered more than half of the markdown. So, I mean, I think we're still down a little over $1 million for the year, but we were down, you know, 2.3 at one point. So we've recovered, you know, 1.3 of that in this quarter.
Okay.
Again, as I'm sure is obvious, I mean, we mark everything to market. So, you know, when our portfolio goes up and down, a lot of that's just, you know, a reflection of indices and where credit is. And so we, you know, obviously that's a moving number. So it's not a permanent impairment or a write down. It's a mark to market on a fair value basis.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. Yeah. And I know you had said you had reversed some of those or whatever, or changed the mark to market has improved. That's really the bottom line.
Yes.
Correct.
And as far as getting the story out and market recognition, I guess the capital raise was part of that. Is what do you see as the catalyst to have a little more market recognition of the way the company's been performing?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, we are, you know, we think the SIF transaction is very exciting. And again, you're going to start seeing the results of that in our fourth quarter numbers and going into next year. And, you know, as you mentioned the call, we also have purchased the CLO business that brings us another $700 million of assets that we can, you know, build, you know, we can manage. So, you know, by year end, we'll be, you know, close to $1 billion of assets under management. And we have a couple acquisitions in the pipeline that we think is pretty exciting. So we expect to have a couple different announcements between now and year end, hopefully. I think that stuff will start washing through our financials. And again, as part of this equity raise we did, you know, we obviously met with a number of institutional investors who, you know, are just getting to know the story. And so as we kind of like, you know, as these kind of go through results, as we continue the dialogue with some of these investors, now that they're bigger, trading liquidity should increase. You know, we expect to get some research coverage over the next 12 months. So I think all these things, you know, we're laser focused on this. You know, our stock trades below net asset value. As we mentioned earlier, we just monetized our two most illiquid, you know, quote unquote risky assets at NAV. And so I think the market should take real comfort in the fact that NAV is NAV. And you get a tax asset for free. So you roll all those things together, And, you know, we obviously, you can see that management and the board participated pretty materially in this last offering. So it should tell you kind of like what we think about our own stock price, and hopefully that'll be reflected in the market.
Okay. No, that was my other question in terms of research coverage, and that probably would help as well. So, okay. Thanks very much.
Great. Thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one. And ladies and gentlemen, at this time, in showing no additional questions, I'd like to turn the conference call back over to management for any closing remarks.
Thank you again for everyone's time and attention this afternoon. As always, we are happy to make ourselves available for any questions in the future. We hope everyone stays safe, and we look forward to updating you via press releases in the near term and our next earnings release in 2021. Thanks again for your continued interest and support of Mount Logan Capital. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, with that, we'll conclude today's conference call. We do thank you for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.